I'm running angry, I'm running happy, and I'm running very content.
We reject attempts to prescribe new rights that are contrary to our values, norms, traditions, and beliefs. We are not gays.
People of non-traditional sexual orientation work, they live in peace, they get promoted, they get state awards for their achievements.
Sure, the book was intended for teens, but this older adult really enjoyed it too.
A song for Matthew, coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. The Pope drops civil union surprise, Pope revised classic lesbian lit for young and older, and remembering Matthew with a playlist of hope. Those stories and more this week, because you've discovered the 1700th edition of This Way Out.
I'm Wendell Jones.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending October 24th, 2020. Pope Francis rattled the Roman Catholic Church this week by voicing his support for same-gender civil unions. His comments are included in the feature-length documentary Francesco, which debuted on October 21st at the Rome Film Festival. The Pope said that homosexual people have the right to be in a family. They are children of God. Nobody should be thrown out or be made miserable because of it. He said civil unions would allow same-gender couples to be legally covered. Before he became Pope in 2013, Francis endorsed civil unions as Archbishop of Buenos Aires. Early in his papacy, he famously said about LGBTQ people, "Who am I to judge?" That was a big shift from his predecessor, who called same-gender love an intrinsic moral evil. But while Francis is clearly broken with those attitudes, Roman Catholicism still teaches that homosexual acts are disordered. Some observers point out that the Pope's public comments have no real impact on those teachings. One called such statements of less official consequence than a Trump tweet. Actually changing Roman Catholic doctrine around natural law would probably be a decades-long bureaucratic process.
Nevertheless, Reverend James Martin spoke for activists around the world who have been pushing for a more queer-welcoming Roman Catholic Church. He told the Washington Post that it's a big step forward and sends a strong signal to countries where the Church has opposed civil union laws. That signal has been heard. The day after the papal bombshell broke, Venezuela's president, Nicolas Maduro, asked his very Roman Catholic country's National Assembly to discuss marriage equality legislation when it reconvenes in January. In heavily Roman Catholic Poland, queer activist Bartosz Staszewski assured Reuters, "We will definitely use the Pope's words in our fight for civil unions and same-sex marriage." However, a spokesman for Poland's Conference of Bishops affirmed that the Pope's comments do not change church doctrine and mused, "We are not able to decipher the context of these words." Pope Francis's sentiments about queer families are strikingly similar to those expressed by a prominent Israeli Orthodox rabbi last week.
New Zealand will boast the queerest and most diverse group of legislators on earth if preliminary results from last week's national elections hold. Along with a landslide re-election of queer-supportive Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, there will likely be up to 12 openly LGBTQ lawmakers seated with her Labour majority and the Green Party when Parliament reconvenes. Ardern has earned widespread praise for the way her government responded to the COVID-19 crisis. New Zealand has dwarfed the coronavirus death toll of most other countries with just 25 fatalities, so her re-election was not unexpected. Ardern's Labour Party has apparently won a 64-seat majority in the 120-seat parliament. It will probably have the support of the Greens to advance progressive legislation, including a proposed nationwide ban on conversion therapy. Notable winners for seats in parliament include openly gay migrant Ricardo Menendez March, who will become the country's first MP of Latin American origin. Ibrahim Omer will be the first MP of African origin, and Venushi Walters will be the first ever Sri Lankan-born legislator. Women are projected to make up half of the Labour caucus. Openly gay finance minister Grant Robertson is expected to become the next deputy prime minister. He posted a photo on social media celebrating the incoming parliament's colorful diversity. The official election results will be released on November 6th.
Canberra citizens woke up to front-page photos of newly re-elected Australian Capital Territory Chief Minister Andrew Barr kissing his husband at a victory party. Barr is the country's only openly queer head of state or territory. He and Anthony Toms have been a couple for more than two decades, although they only officially tied the knot last year. Barr's Labour Party will remain in the majority, forming a government with the Greens when Barr begins his sixth consecutive term as chief minister. During his acceptance speech, he said his top priorities would be jobs, healthcare, and leading the nation in climate change action.
Meanwhile, the city of Anchorage, Alaska, has its first woman and first queer mayor. Austin Quinn Davidson was named acting mayor by the Anchorage Assembly following the resignation of Mayor Ethan Berkowitz. Berkowitz had been under fire for his poor handling of the COVID-19 crisis and the city's crumbling economy as a result of it. He ultimately stepped down after admitting to an extramarital relationship with a female journalist. According to the Anchorage Daily News, Quinn Davidson is a 40-year-old attorney who was first elected to the Anchorage Assembly in 2018. She was re-elected earlier this year. Under the city charter, openly gay assembly president Felix Rivera was the next in line, but he supported Quinn Davidson instead. Rivera called Quinn Davidson a compassionate and dedicated public servant. The new acting mayor told the Daily News that her most important role now would be to inspire trust in government and to make people feel at ease during a time that is pretty tumultuous. Municipal lawyers say that the city charter is not clear about how long Quinn Davidson will hold the acting mayor title or when the next mayoral election might be held. A special election would take already sparse city funds. The next scheduled elections are in April 2021.
The UK Census will ask questions regarding sexual orientation and gender identity for the first time next year. The Office for National Statistics noted that those questions would be voluntary and for respondents at least 16 years of age. For example, one question will ask, is the gender you identify with the same as your sex registered at birth? Those saying no will be asked to specify their gender identity. The agency's deputy national statistician, Ian Bell, told The Observer, without robust data on the size of the LGBT population at a national and local level, decision makers are unaware of the extent and nature of disadvantage which LGBT people may be experiencing in terms of health, educational outcomes, employment, and housing. The UK's leading queer advocacy group, Stonewall, cheered the announcement. CEO Nancy Kelly called it a vital step towards building a society where LGBT people are truly accepted everywhere and by everyone. The next Office for National Statistics census is scheduled to begin on March 21, 2021, across England and Wales. National Records of Scotland will conduct a separate poll in March of 2022.
Finally, more U.S. residents than ever support marriage equality. According to the highly respected American Values Survey, 7 in 10 respondents favor the right of same-gender couples to legally marry. Only 28% were opposed. Even half of those who identify as Republicans supported marriage equality. This is the 11th annual Values Survey conducted by the Public Religion Research Institute in association with the Brookings Institution. There was majority support among members of every major religious denomination, including Roman Catholic Hispanics and Black Protestants. However, white evangelicals were the exception, with almost 2 in 3 still opposing equality. Fully 90% of the respondents without specific religious affiliation expressed support for marriage equality. The survey was conducted from September 9th to 22nd and has a margin of error of 2.6%. The progress LGBTQ people have made on the issue has been relatively speedy. NBC News pointed to a University of Chicago poll in 1968. It found more than 2 in 3 respondents at that time were against marriage equality, with barely 1 in 10 in favor.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude. for the week ending October 24th, 2020. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is a recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. It's written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm Wendell Jones. Stay healthy.
And I'm John Dyer V. Stay safe.
And now, This Week in Trump.
I will never speak to you again.
Could you imagine if I lose my whole life? What am I going to do? I'm not going to feel so good. Maybe I'll have to leave the country. I don't know.
Suburban women, you're supposed to love Trump. So can I ask you to do me a favor? Suburban women, will you please like me?
The light at the end of the tunnel is near. We are rounding the turn. I say that all the time. Some of the media doesn't like hearing it. But I say it all the time, we're rounding that turn.
You turn on CNN, that's all they cover. COVID, COVID, pandemic, COVID, COVID, COVID. You know why? They're trying to talk everybody out of voting. People aren't buying it, CNN, you dumb bastards. They're not buying it.
I think I'm running angry, I'm running happy, and I'm running very content.
Come on. Pulp telescopes queer history. Its contemporary queer female narrator ends up doing her senior project looking at the lesbian pulp novels of the 1950s.
Literary lessons for LGBTQ History Month later in the program. Russian President Vladimir Putin lost an anti-LGBTQ argument this week, and that's not something you can say very often. Putin was behind a move to amend the family code, primarily to ban the recognition of same-gender marriages performed abroad. Other changes would have prevented trans people from changing gender on their birth certificates. However, the effort was rebuffed after the Russian Human Rights Council ruled that significant changes to the family code required consultation with experts and public discussion. Putin's legislative lackeys had claimed that the amendments were intended to prevent what they called immoral interpretations of international treaties from interfering in Russian family affairs. When we reached back into our Wayback Machine and pulled out what was happening in October 2015 at the United Nations, we noticed eerie echoes. Putin was there, in addition to Zimbabwe's longtime president, Robert Mugabe, who we can now say is still dead. Greg Gordon reports.
Up behind the bus stop in the toilets off the street, there are traces of a killing on the floor beneath your feet. Mixed in with the piss and beer are bloodstains on the floor from the boy who got his head kicked in a night or two before.
Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these.
The presidents of two countries doubled down on their homophobia and denials this week. Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe has chalked up an infamous record of anti-gay statements and policies, so his remarks on the subject at this week's United Nations General Assembly meeting were not surprising, though he apparently failed to notice the chuckles from the audience.
Nowhere does the Charter arrogate the right to some to sit in judgment over others in carrying out this universal obligation. In that regard, we reject the politicization of this important issue and the application of double standards to victimize those who dare think and act independently of the self-anointed prefects of our time. We equally reject attempts to prescribe new rights that are contrary to our values, norms, traditions, and beliefs. We are not gays. Cooperation and respect for each other will advance the cause of human rights worldwide. Confrontation, vilification, and double standards will not.
Russian President Vladimir Putin discussed his country's supposedly unbiased treatment of LGBT people with reporter Charlie Rose in a web-posted outtake from this week's CBS News program 60 Minutes.
The problem of sexual minorities in Russia had been deliberately exaggerated from the outside for political reasons, I believe, without any good basis.
Okay, help us understand.
Well, I'll explain it for you. It's well known that in four states in America, homosexual orientation is a crime. Whether it's good or bad, we don't know. We know there's the ruling of the Supreme Court, but this problem has not completely disappeared. It's not completely removed from American legislation, but we don't have that.
So you would condemn that?
I definitely condemn that. I believe there should not be any criminal prosecution or any other prosecution or infringement of people's rights on the basis of their race, ethnicity, religious or sexual orientation. We don't have that. If my memory doesn't fail me, we had Article 120 of the Criminal Code in Soviet Russia, which had prosecutions on the basis of homosexuality. We've abolished all of that. We have no persecution at all. People of non-traditional sexual orientation work, they live in peace, they get promoted, they get state awards for their achievements in science and arts or other areas. I personally have awarded them medals, but we have a ban on gay propaganda aimed at minors. I don't see anything undemocratic in this legal act. I believe we should leave kids in peace. We should give them a chance to grow, help them to realize who they are, and decide for themselves. Do they consider themselves a man or a woman, a female, a male? Do they want to live in a normal, natural marriage or a non-traditional one? That's the only thing I wanted to talk about. I don't see here any infringement on the rights of gay people.
So you're saying that, as far as you're concerned, there is as much a recognition for gay rights and gay marriage as there is in the United States. That's your position.
We not only recognize, but we ensure their rights. In Russia, there are equal rights for everyone, including for people of non-traditional sexual orientation as well.
The most recent evidence of the kind of equality that reigns in Vladimir Putin's Russia includes a prominent politician's announcement of a new multinational organization committed to ridding the world of LGBT people and the banning of five LGBT online youth groups.
Back here in the present, Putin's icy denials of official Russian oppression of queer people continue. Activists have little hope that things will change anytime soon, since an overwhelming majority of Russians agree with him. The situation for Zimbabwe's LGBTQs is much the same, although Mugabe was forced to step down in 2017 and died in exile 2 years later.
If I were a frog, here is what I would say. It's hard being green. It's hard being gay.
Hi, this is Janice Ian, and you're listening to This Way Out. You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
While his murder left millions of Americans in horror, many musicians expressed their grief through song.
We'll hear LGBTQ history memorialized in music, but first in the written word.
lady poet of great acclaim. I have been misreading you. I never knew your poems were meant for me. You lived alone in a quiet den, pouring passion through your pen and weeping for your lady lovers as they safely married men.
The old find wisdom among the young, and This Way Out's Janet Mason finds resonance in a novel about contemporary queer life and classic lesbian literature.
When I found the novel Pulp by Robin Talley in the audiobook section of the Electronic Library Service I use, I didn't notice that the novel was published by Harlequin Teen as a young adult book until the very end. The book is that good. Sure, the book was intended for teens, but this older adult really enjoyed it too. Pulp, which has several narrators, telescopes queer history. Its contemporary queer female narrator is in her last year of high school. She ends up doing her senior project looking at the lesbian pulp novels of the 1950s through the eyes of a queer high schooler who lives in a multicultural world. She also spends a lot of her time going to protest rallies in Washington, D.C., where she lives. This present-day narrator, Abby, is informed by her high school teacher and advisor, who just happens to be a lesbian, with her wedding picture prominently displayed in her office, that lesbians in the 80s researched, wrote about, and reclaimed the genre. Many were written by straight men, and of course the prurient was highlighted. And even those written by lesbians usually had their endings changed to be tragic. But Abby, our modern-day queer narrator, persists and says she wants to write about the 50s lesbian pulps from her own perspective. As she embarks on her endeavor, we are introduced to other characters and other narrators. Although the present-day narrator faces many concerns that are real, especially to young adults, I have to admit that the narrator from the 1950s was more to my liking. The smoky bars of Greenwich Village and the secret lives they contained were reminiscent of the haunts of my youth. I did not come out in the 50s, but in the 80s, when I did come out, there is plenty of overlap with the bar culture of the 50s. I also remember hearing older friends telling me how important it was to them to find the pulp novels when they were teens, which told the first stories they heard about women who were like them. When I finished reading Pulp by Robin Talley from Harlequin Teen, published in 2018, I was left with a sense of completion and hope. Progress has been made in the world, despite that things seem to be going backwards, and the present-day narrator is just what my generation hoped for. This is Jan Mason with commentary on queer life and literature for This Way Out.
That was Melissa Etheridge singing Scarecrow, her tribute to Matthew Shepard. The Rainbow Minute crew has a whole playlist of treasures that came from that tragedy and that highlight the humanity in the history.
A Song for Matthew, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. In October of 1998, Matthew Shepard was beaten and left to die on a fence in Laramie, Wyoming, just because he was gay. While his murder left millions of Americans in horror, many musicians expressed their grief through song. Indigo girl Amy Ray wrote the song Laramie, yearning for a world free of such violence. Elton John and Bernie Taupin wrote a song called American Triangle, mourning the one life lost and the two lives wasted, those of Matthew's killers.
It's a cold, cold world. It's a cold, cold world. It's a cold wind blowing, blowing. Why,
Cyndi Lauper wrote a song titled Above the Clouds, imagining a place where Matthew lives without fear.
Stand tall and glide when you're all alone in a crowd. Don't fall, don't hide when you walk above the clouds. When you
Janice Ian wrote a song she calls Matthew, which offers this insight. What makes a man is not who he loves, but whether he can.
What makes a man, the cut of a coat, the hint of a tan, it's not who you love, but whether that makes a man a man. That makes a man a man.
The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Mark Golden.
Thanks for discovering the 1700th edition of This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Wenzel Jones and John Dyer V, produced by Brian DeShazer, from Greg Gordon, Janet Mason, and Mark Golden, produced by Jed Proctor and Brian Burns. Jackson Brown, Chumbawamba, Holly Near, Teresa Troll, Melissa Etheridge, Amy Ray, Elton John, Cyndi Lauper, and Janice Ian performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, a bequest from the late Christopher David Trentum, and donors Paul Bannon and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 4BI, Fortitude Valley, Queensland, WUMD, North Dartmouth, Massachusetts, KHOY, Ames, Iowa, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay safe and stay tuned.